Hello, inmates in the asylum. I don't want people to think that that necessarily sounds bad. We're all inmates to a degree in asylums. We're all beholden to some degree to institutions. That's just pragmatic. I don't like pragmatism terribly much, but I realize that just the nature of it means you have to kind of have to be beholden to the thing. I'm Jay Nemro, and this is Quasi-Indefatigable Zentalist, and I'm talking again about belief, faith, religion, things like that. I think the same problems of institutionalism that might affect us politically, that might affect our lifestyles, also affect us in a religious way. We too often behave like cattle and simply follow the tail of the person in front of us. Many churches almost depend upon that. Let me be honest. The Catholic Church is, for all intents and purposes, a cow church. People belong to the Catholic Church because their parents belong to it, their grandparents belong to it. And it really has... I've seen a few people who really have a statement of faith or belief concerning the Catholic Church, concerning the fact that they agree with the doctrine. But by and large... it's not. They simply belong to the Catholic Church because they've always belonged to the Catholic Church, and they cannot conceive of anything else. It's just like being beholden to the institution of school or to the institution of government. It's basically the same thing in my eyes. And it's hard for me to respect Catholics for the simple reason that most Catholics are Catholics only... by default. They do it because that's what they've always done. Their grandparents, who might have been a little more faithful, demanded it of them. And if they ever wanted to explore any other possibilities, their grandparents just, you're going to burn in everlasting hell. And that's pretty much the concept I have of the Catholic Church. You either go to the Catholic Church or you're going to burn in hell. And that's mostly what it is. It is a church of fear of damnation. Now, it's true. If we don't do what God asks us to do, we're not going to get the ultimate reward that God promises. Now, that's true. I think it's sad and a little sick that an institution has to use scare tactics to keep people coming, to keep people associated with it. The Catholic Church is the largest church and largest Christian church. I think it's the largest church, period, in the world. And I think and I think it's nothing less than people having a very basic faith that it's taken advantage of by priests and teachers, and that those who question it are threatened with hellfire. And that's how they keep big numbers. Of course, their big numbers also are helped along by the fact that that membership in the Catholic Church is done when you're a few days old. Baptism is done when you're an infant to save you from evil nature, to overcome Adam's sin. Now, I'm not saying I'm any kind of expert on any of this. Don't ever look at me as an expert on any of this. It's bothersome. I don't like their tactics. And to a degree, the creedists do the same thing. You know, a whole lot of their shtick is is the same thing. Fear tactics. You know, they've gotten better though. They've gotten a whole liturgy, and honestly, the Catholic Church has gotten there too. And I think it's simply for competition. The Catholics, I think, change by and large. The Catholic Church changes their doctrine or alters their focus. Let's not go so far as saying they change the doctrine. They alter their focus usually in as a reaction to external pressure, you know? And that's why so many other churches are also accused of the same thing. My own church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, was accused of that when blacks were able to receive the priesthood. Everybody just said, oh, well, they finally bowed to pressure from the equal rights, you know, from I don't even have the words for it. You know, Martin Luther King, stuff like that. From blacks not being able to be treated like second-class citizens, that was always how people perceived what the Mormon Church was doing, that we were a bunch of elitist white suckers. We were a bunch of racists. And I can see where people would do that if it wasn't a question of, this is the will of God, we follow Him in faith. Many Mormons struggled with that doctrine. You know, if it would have been a democratic attitude among the LDS, Latter-day Saints, we blacks would have had the priesthood 100 years earlier, honestly. And if anybody questions that, you have to look at the church's stance and at the stance of most LDS. When we were in Missouri being persecuted, one of the biggest things we were persecuted for was the fact that the Mormon Church was anti-slavery. We didn't believe in slavery. We didn't think that was appropriate. So when you say, oh, well, they don't like blacks, and you go, you have to understand, we were against slavery from minute one. You know? It was never anything else. So, but yes, you have to understand, it's always a question of God, of what God wants us to do. And I know people, I mean, it's an easy target, honestly, for people who don't like the church, who want to convince other people that the church can't possibly be true. It's a really easy target to say, oh yes, isn't that convenient to say that God didn't want it to happen? And you go, well, creedists, isn't it sad that if God had something He wanted you to do, how would you guys ever know it? Because you have no concept of an actual God that actually speaks to man. A God that actually even operates in, besides just kind of being playing chess with things. I'm okay, let me explain creedist in case you didn't listen to the last one. A creedist is somebody whose basic religious beliefs find its root in the Nicene Creed from the 4th century. When the Emperor Constantine actually said, all right, the Christian Church is going to be the official church of the Roman Empire, and now we're going to sit down and we're going to actually spell out exactly what all this stuff constitutes, what it is. And he essentially created the you can't call it the modern Catholic Church. But he essentially put together most of the pillars of the Catholic Church. Before then, you have a church, but it was in hiding, and it was probably in various forms depending on where it was, because it wasn't a united thing. It wasn't the state church. When it became the state church, it became what we understand now as the Catholic Church. even though it's called Catholic before that, you really have to understand that until the 4th century, it was probably quite a bit different. Anyway, that's what a creedist is. And I'm not going to say that all Christian denominations are creedists. A ton of them are, whether they actually have in their bylaws the Nicene Creed as their root belief, at least in their concept of God, the concept of heaven, concept of all these things, at their root it's there. But a whole lot of churches are just kind of springboards from that, even if they don't officially preach it. That's really where their basis comes from. They might deviate here and there from it, and that's where most of the denominations come from. They're just deviations from that one norm. Not all of them. I'm not going to say that. I don't know where there's a whole lot of very different churches there. None of those churches, as far as I'm aware, believe that they had a commission from God to do what they did. They always appeal to the Bible. That's why it's very simple to also to call, if you're not a creedist, you're somewhat of a Bibleist. You don't worship Jesus Christ, you worship the Bible. And it's very obvious. If the greatest part of your sermon is quoting scripture after scripture after scripture, usually bouncing around, we used to call them, I was a missionary for my church, most of our men, if we have any kind of faith at all, at the age of 19, go on a mission. When I was on my mission, that was a common thing. It was called scripture chain. And you would get a concept, and you would build up this concept by jumping from scripture to scripture in the Bible, or in our case, the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants of the Church of Christ, to be able to substantiate what you're saying. I have always, always had a problem with that kind of justification for a point of doctrine. I've always had problems with that, because it's very easy when you're doing that to take scriptures out of context. It'd be very easy that we should be worshiping goats, or we should be worshiping cows, or any number of really off-the-wall things. We could come up with a scripture chain to give pretty convincing evidence that this is the way it's supposed to be. That kind of brings me back, I was talking about a little bit before, about my belief, about why I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, about my testimony about it, and about how it may be different from other LDS Latter-day Saints. I need to say that so that you guys know what I'm talking about. Latter-day Saints that you've come into contact with. It saddens me that many Latter-day Saints take a rather creedist or Bibleist tack to their faith in, to their attitude toward the Mormon Church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I don't. Mine is based strictly on spiritual experiences I have that convince me by my faith and my study and by the Holy Ghost manifesting to me the truth of these things, that the Mormon Church is the Church of Jesus Christ. It's the Church that Jesus Christ set up. It is a continuation of the church that he set up originally. That comes from the Spirit telling me so. There's a lot of people that I think are members of the Mormon Church that that their faith is, their adherence to it is very much similar to anybody else's adherence to any other Christian denomination. They have gotten a somewhat, what we call an intellectual conversion. Now, we don't consider that to be a very good one, because one can always be twisted this way or that way in the wind. And that's actually how I think it's referred to in the New Testament, twisted about in the wind, in every point of doctrine. And people get very, very confused, and it's easy to get confused. I think that's why we have so many Christian denominations. Some people have given up completely and said that all these different denominations are basically true as long as they lead you to Christ. Well, Christ specifically denounced that, but a lot of people believe it for the simple reason that that's the only way they can justify the fact that there's so many Christian faiths, and on strictly intellectual means, you really can't pick out if one's better than, if one's right and the rest are wrong. It's really difficult because they each tend to have little pieces of good doctrine. And I'm not saying they're leading people to hell. I'm not going to be like the Catholics, because that's not true. My grandmother was a member of a denomination called the Church of Christ. Both of my grandparents were on that side. They were very upset that my mother joined the Mormon Church. They hid the fact that she joined the Mormon Church for many years from the rest of the family. My grandmother only had one surviving child, one that survived into adulthood, my mother. All the rest of the children were stepkids. And they were all very strong, very staunch Church of Christ. And Church of Christ is very much, when they say Christian, they're talking about the Church of Christ. Or at least that was what these brothers and sisters of my mom, stepbrothers and sisters of my mom, always said. That Baptists were going to hell, that everybody else was going to hell. And that was kind of upsetting. That whole side of family was actually a kind of a hodgepodge. There were three sisters. One sister was Catholic, one was Baptist, and one was Church of Christ. And those are tricky belief systems to have a conversation with each other about. It certainly didn't help it when my mom became a Mormon, because let me tell you, nothing, almost nothing, unifies those three religious traditions. You know, you could almost do a joke. There was a Baptist, a Catholic, and Church of Christ guy who were in a boat together, and, you know, you can almost see it that way. These are people that do not agree on much of anything. But let me tell you, when it came to the fact of Mormonism, they were united in condemning it, and all with the same words. Sad but true. And really kind of, I mean, they were kindly, but we were really family outcasts. That's sad. What was I talking about before I got off into this whole thing about differently? Oh, we were talking about the Church of Christ and how they had this concept of everybody's going to hell except for them. And there's the only thing they, you know, and it's really odd because they all have the same source. They just think they're interpreting certain passages of the Bible correctly and everybody else is doing it wrong. And that's really kind of the criteria. For that. That's the only reason why they belong to one denomination over another, is that they have somehow figured out that the Bible, that their concept of the Bible is right, as opposed to everybody else's, or that the scriptures they adhere to most strongly have more validity than other scriptures do. It's really, you know, it's almost really like, okay, so you believe in this and you believe in that, and there's really nothing better or worse. Of course, there's swear up and down that there is, but you really can't see it. The only real difference was really the Mormons, who said, you know what? Who said, there's more out there, there's more scripture, and you can do those, and you can do those things. Honestly, I don't, there is a little bit of creedism in my concept in the Church of Christ, but mostly they're Biblists. They will live and die by their interpretation of the Bible. You know, it's not even really a question of Christ so much as it is, this is how we believe the Bible says things, and this is how we do things, and we have the correct interpretation. And that's really all there is among the Biblists, is their take on what the Bible says. And if that's true, anybody, you know, that I think that's where the Universal Church of God, Universal Church of Jesus Christ, you know, this kind of conglomeration of we all look at each other and we all figure we're all going to hell because we're not united, but we're going to say we're united, and that you just pick which church home you want to go to. It's a silly concept. You know, obviously Christ himself taught, you know, there's one faith, one baptism, and it's like, so many people do it so many different ways. How on earth can you ever know which way it is? And that's what brings me to Joseph Smith and to the fact that he actually asked God. He was the first person to actually say, you know what, God said he would tell us. And most, and I'd have to say that there's a lot of people who, when confronted with that, say that's blasphemous. How dare you ask God? He's already given us very clear information in the Bible. And you go, now how clear could it possibly be if you've got so many Christian churches that believe 100 different things and they can't even decide which baptism is proper? They don't even, you know, even when it's clear spells out in the Bible how Christ was baptized, they still baptize differently as if they've come up with a better way. It's really interesting. And I can only say, I can only think that it's an institutional thing. You know, who are your friends? Who do you respect the most? And if it's a preacher in the Church of Christ, you're going to be a Church of Christ parishioner. That's not really the word for it. You don't belong to a parish. You're going to belong to the Church of Christ. If there's a pastor, if there's a Baptist minister that you really like, that really kind of touches you somehow, or that makes you feel good, or that makes you feel bad, or makes you want to do better, or makes you want to do whatever, you're going to follow him, and you're going to be a Baptist, and maybe just because you're now integrated into the institution, you're always going to be a Baptist, and your kids are going to be Baptist. And it becomes just very institutional. I'm not an institutional person. Therefore, I don't do that. So I'm going to come back. We're going to come back with another MP3. I'm going to talk strictly about my faith. I almost feel like I've been attacking other religions, and that bothers me. I don't want to do that very much. But I do need to bring out the fact of just how I think on a really basal level there's problems with them that I've never been able to reconcile. And I think I've gone over that quite enough. This is Jay Nemro. This is Quasi-Indefatigable Zenilith. If you want more information, if you want to get more of these MP3 files, if you just got one, just somebody emailed it to you or something. My name is quix.us. Bye.